Module 1, Planning Your Elk Hunt. Chapter 1, Expectations and Logistics. At the heart of your planning, there are a few basic questions you need to answer to get started. What are your expectations for the hunt? How do you define success? What is your goal? Are you simply looking for the experience, or is filling a tag important to you? Will you be happy shooting a 5-point on the first day, or are you looking to bring home the next world record elk? What weapon are you planning to hunt with? Archery, muzzleloader, or rifle? What is your budget for both time and money? And when do you want to go? This fall, or are you okay waiting a few years? I want you to stop this audio recording right now and write down the answers to those questions. Seriously, it's vital to set realistic expectations right from the very beginning so you don't end up disappointed with your experience. What is your goal? What is your weapon? What is your budget, and when do you want to go? If you're only interested in hunting 350-inch bulls with a rifle during the rut, and you only have 3 days to hunt and no time to scout, and you want to go this fall, your options are going to be limited, very limited, and your budget had better not be. If you want to experience the on-your-own allure of the Rocky Mountains during the elk rut and simply have a chance at filling a tag with any legal bull, you'll have multiple options to choose from, and you can keep the cost relatively low. Both hunts mentioned above are completely obtainable, but they will likely take place in different states and on different budgets. States such as Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Nevada are known for producing world-class elk, but obtaining a tag can be a long and frustrating process. I'll cover over-the-counter versus draw tags a little later in this module. In some states like Nevada, Utah, or New Mexico, there are opportunities to circumvent the draw process and buy landowner tags or auction tags, or hire an outfitter to obtain guaranteed tags. These options typically shorten the wait time for a quality elk tag, but they require deeper pockets. On the flip side, states like Montana, Colorado, Oregon, and Idaho provide ample opportunities to simply show up and buy a tag each season. But as you might expect, opportunity and quality don't typically or readily go hand in hand. Realistic goals. What do you hope to accomplish on this hunt? Is filling your tag the primary goal? If it is, would you be happy with a cow elk? Or do you want a set of antlers to bring home? If you're holding out for a bull, would you be thrilled with a spike or a raghorn? Or are you holding out for a monster 6x6? Or are you happy just with the opportunity to be chasing elk with a weapon in your hand and filling a tag would be icing on the cake? Most of us have visions of beautiful high mountain country with the sound of bugling bulls echoing in the canyons below you. Ultimately, most of us envision looking through our sights at a bull elk just seconds before he falls to our shot. Then there is the image of walking up on that bull and wrapping your hands around the massive main beam of his antlers. If that is what success looks like for you, be warned. That is not what reality looks like for the vast majority of elk hunters, especially those who are new to the pursuit. In fact, the overall success rate for elk hunters hovers somewhere around 10 or 12%, which means that approximately 9 out of 10 elk hunters go home without an elk each season, or the average elk hunter only fills their elk tag once every 10 years or so. However, I'm not here to dash your dreams. In fact, I don't want you to be intimidated at all by the daunting odds of success. While most over-the-counter elk hunts hover at the lower end of the success rates, you've signed up for this online course and made it clear that you aren't willing to settle for average. Average is not good enough, and the next 54 chapters are going to provide you with the tools you need to increase your confidence and your success rate drastically. It's still going to take a lot of work on your part. But if you follow the information in this course and work hard, I have no doubt that you'll be able to accomplish your elk hunting goals on a consistent basis. No matter where you currently are in your elk hunting journey, and no matter what success looks like to you, this course is aimed at helping you achieve your goals. If you're truly after a giant bull, there are plenty of advanced topics and tactics that will be covered to help you hone your knowledge and skills in the pursuit. If you're a new elk hunter that needs to learn it all from the very beginning, this course will no doubt help you with that as well. Ultimately, regardless of where you are in the process, my goal is to help you get better. I want you to possess the confidence you need to step into the elk woods this fall and know you have a very real chance at making your dream a reality. So, let's get started. Seasons and weapons. The weapon you use is going to play a big part in your planning. For the most part, archery seasons typically occur during the heart of the rut. If you're looking for a bugling experience, there are several options for archery hunters. However, these options become much more limited for muzzleloader and rifle hunters. Some states also offer late, like November and December, archery hunts, while others do provide some early September seasons for rifle and muzzleloader. Deciding what weapon you want to hunt with will likely dictate, at least to some degree, the state and the month you are able to hunt. To explain these differences at a higher level, I'll break elk season down into three parts: early season, mid-season, and late season. I'll also explain the hunting methods that are most commonly allowed during these three seasons. Early season, archery. In most states, the first elk seasons typically open in late August or early September. For this discussion, we'll consider the early season to be opening day throughout the month of September. The archery season in most elk hunting states takes place during this time frame. For the most part, elk are primarily being pursued by bow hunters during the month of September. However, some states also allow limited muzzleloader and even some rifle hunting during the month of September as well. There are definite advantages to hunting during the early season, as the rut occurs primarily during this time frame. Mid-season, muzzleloader and firearm. Just as the early season can be generally described as the month of September, the mid-season can be roughly categorized as the month of October. The majority of elk hunting with firearms takes place during the month of October across the West, and brings a high number of hunters to the elk woods. This season also correlates with the highest number of elk being harvested. While the rut is winding down in most states during this time frame, the added advantage of modern firearms and the sheer volume of hunters provide the highest volume of success. The mid-season also offers additional limited muzzleloader hunting opportunities in several states, some of which is the continuation of muzzleloader seasons that began in late September and extend into early October. Late season, archery, muzzleloader, and firearm. Since the early season consists of the days of September and the mid-season is roughly the month of October, the late season is comprised of what remains. In some states, late season opportunities include the month of November, and in other states might even extend into December and even January. The late season time frame offers the most variety of weapon choices, with some states providing late season hunting with all three methods. With a basic overview of the seasons and the associated weapons that are typical of those seasons, I'll dig a little deeper into the specific weapon platforms and discuss some of the unique characteristics of hunting elk with each of them. Archery hunting. Pursuing elk with a bow and arrow can be an incredible challenge. Becoming a proficient shooter with archery equipment requires dedicated practice, and the challenge of getting within bow range of an elk is unlike any other. However, archery seasons in most states provide bow hunters an opportunity to hunt elk at the most exciting time of the year, and many elk hunters have picked up bow hunting for no other reason than the opportunity to hunt elk during the magical month of September. Archery hunting gives the elk hunter numerous advantages. Here are some of the main benefits of pursuing elk with a bow and arrow. Archery seasons provide the most opportunity to hunt the early season, which coincides with the rut. During this time, elk behavior can be more predictable, elk can be more visible, bulls can be more aggressive, and calling can be very effective and exciting. Archery tags are often easier to obtain than muzzleloader and rifle tags. Multiple states offer over-the-counter archery elk tags for areas that are often limited for muzzleloader and rifle. This means you might just be able to show up and purchase a tag to go archery hunting, but a rifle hunter might have to apply for a chance to draw a tag to hunt that same area. For areas where all tags are controlled by a limited draw, most archery tags are easier to draw than a corresponding firearm tag. Archery seasons are often longer than firearm seasons. Many states offer a primary bow season that is around a month long, whereas the seasons for other methods are often less than half of that length. Although the popularity of bow hunting for elk is growing rapidly, the number of archery hunters is still far less than the number of rifle hunters. Bow hunters are also scattered across a longer season, which means there are fewer hunters in the woods at any given time during archery season, typically compared to firearm seasons. And since archery seasons are generally the first seasons of the year, the elk have yet to be pressured as heavily as they will be later in the year. That all sounds great, right? So why would someone not hunt elk with a bow and arrow? The primary answer to that question is simply that shooting a bow and arrow competently is a skill that takes time, practice, and dedication. To simply show up and hope to be able to kill an elk without putting in months of effort would likely lead to disappointment and frustration. Due to the limited effective range of archery equipment, shot opportunities can be difficult to come by. It's not uncommon to spend a week bow hunting and see plenty of elk, but never have a shot opportunity with a bow. I always say that bow hunting begins where rifle hunting ends. This means that a bow hunter really doesn't start hunting until they get inside 300 yards of an elk. On the flip side, most rifle hunters have already shot the elk once they get to 300 yards. Bow hunting requires patience, proficiency, and practice on a level that rifle hunting simply does not. Muzzleloader hunting. Pursuing elk with a muzzleloader offers some unique benefits and challenges. A muzzleloader doesn't have as great of an effective range as a centerfire rifle, but it does have a greater effective range than archery equipment. So, from an archery perspective, a muzzleloader offers the benefit of increased shot opportunities, while a rifle hunter might find that a muzzleloader conversely offers limited shot opportunities. For a rifle hunter, the switch to a muzzleloader doesn't require the same learning curve or budget as switching to bow hunting might, yet it may allow you to pursue elk during the month of September or more easily acquire a tag. Numerous states allow muzzleloader hunting in some portion of September, which offers the opportunity to hunt elk during the prime time of elk activity and calling responsiveness, without having to embark upon the challenge of learning archery. Again, this can be great news for rifle hunters. However, muzzleloader seasons in September are usually shorter than the archery seasons, and the tags for muzzleloader hunts are often more difficult to obtain than the archery tags. In the end, muzzleloader hunting provides some unique benefits for elk hunters coming from the firearms perspective, but archery hunters might find that muzzleloader hunting is more restrictive and offers less opportunity than pursuing elk with a bow, even with a slightly extended range over archery equipment. Rifle hunting. The most popular method of elk hunting is with a rifle. A rifle is certainly the most capable weapon to kill an elk and often provides the most shot opportunities for elk hunters. I'm absolutely not saying that you can be careless and not practice as a rifle hunter, but it is undeniable that the rifle is the easiest weapons platform to employ effectively and requires the least amount of learning and practice to become proficient with. Since rifle hunting is the most popular method of hunting elk, there are more hunters in the field during most rifle seasons, which means more competition for you and more pressure for the elk. The increased hunting pressure will, at least potentially, have a negative effect on the elk. Hunting pressure can make the elk less responsive to calling, move them to thicker cover where they are harder to locate, and alter their feeding activity to nocturnal and the very earliest or latest portions of daylight. With that being said, pressure from other hunters can be used to your advantage if you know how the elk will respond and how your hunting tactics should change accordingly. To keep the hunting pressure under control, the availability of elk tags for rifle seasons are often more limited, which means fewer over-the-counter options, more lotteries or drawings, and potentially more bonus or preference points required. Additionally, with the higher number of rifle hunters, the odds of drawing limited tags is usually greatly decreased over other weapon choices. To illustrate this point, here are the draw odds for a non-resident in a random unit in Colorado. 78% chance of drawing a tag for the archery season. 47% chance of drawing the same area during muzzleloader season. And only an 8% chance of drawing that rifle tag in the same unit. Budgets and logistics. There are many questions you need to ask yourself and consider when planning an elk hunt. Why, when, what, where, and how? I've touched on the why and hopefully helped you set proper expectations. The when was generally covered in the seasons portion, and the what was touched on in the weapons section. In Chapter 3 of this module, I will take a detailed look at the where as we begin looking into areas to actually hunt elk. But there is one more vital question that needs addressed in this section. How? There are several factors that will affect the budget and logistics of your elk hunt. Time, travel, and cost are all intertwined, and are important components to consider when planning an elk hunt. These unknowns are also the factors that prevent many elk hunters from going on their first elk hunt or from hunting another state for the first time. Vacation time. The amount of time needed for a successful elk hunt depends upon a lot of factors. Will you spend time scouting before the season opens? How long will it take you to drive? Or is flying a better option? Will you be packing into the backcountry or hunting from a base camp? Will you need to wait for the meat to be processed and frozen before returning home? All of these are good questions to ask yourself when determining how many days you'll need for the hunt. In the case of a fully guided or outfitted hunt where you can fly in with just your essential gear, 7 or 8 days might be more than sufficient. You'll need a travel or pickup day at the very least, then 5 to 7 days for the hunt. If you're successful, your outfitter may be able to handle the logistics of processing the meat and shipping it to you so you can hop back on a plane and fly home. However, if you're considering flying out west for a do-it-yourself elk hunt, there are quite a few additional logistics that need to be considered. Flying with a weapon can be a hassle, and there are special TSA regulations for checking a firearm or archery equipment in with your luggage. At the least, you'll need to invest in a secure, airline-approved weapons case with TSA-approved locks. Between your weapon and all of your hunting gear, you're pretty much guaranteed to be facing extra baggage fees. In addition to your weapon, your elk hunt will often require other gear that is either tightly regulated or altogether banned from airline travel. Simple things like fuel for your camping or backpacking stove cannot fly in any way. Be sure you cross-check your entire gear list with TSA's and the particular airline carrier's list of restricted items. Those banned items will have to be picked up on the ground once you arrive at your elk hunting destination. And speaking of on the ground, you must also consider how you're going to get from the airport to your hunting area if you fly. It's not like you can grab a taxi and just have them take you to the remote trailhead, right? Most likely you'll need a rental car to get you there. Depending on how remote and hard to access your elk hunting grounds are, you'll likely need a four-wheel drive rental. When you are successful, you'll have a whole host of new challenges. In addition to flying with your weapon and hunting gear on the return flight, you'll now have several hundred pounds of elk meat and possibly a nice set of antlers to transport back home. Meat will need to be processed and frozen before it can be included as baggage, which adds time and cost, in addition to the added cost of flying the meat and the antlers. If you have a vehicle that can handle travel in elk country, driving is a great option that offers a lot more flexibility. It's also much easier from a planning and logistics perspective in terms of traveling with your weapons, gear, and hopefully a big set of elk antlers and a bunch of elk meat in your coolers on the way back home. For a DIY driving adventure, however, 7 or 8 days is definitely going to be encroaching on the short side. If you're anywhere east of Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri, roughly 2,000 to 4,000 miles round trip, you're going to need 2 days for driving each way to make it to the easternmost elk states, like Colorado, Wyoming, or New Mexico. Drive time alone for a two-way trip will use up the better part of 4 days, and there's a physical toll that sitting in a vehicle for 2 days takes on your body. This means you might not simply hit the trailhead ready to make the most of your first day in elk country. For those of us who live in the West, we're still looking at a full day of travel each way to get to most out-of-state destinations. 6 days of actual hunting time would be the minimum amount of time I'd consider for an out-of-state hunt. If you're hunting with a partner, filling 2 tags in that amount of time could prove to be difficult. Add in packing and processing if you aren't set up to transport an elk back home, and that could easily stretch into another 3 or 4 days. In a nutshell, it's probably best to plan on a minimum of 8 or 9 days for an out-of-state hunt. For those who are traveling from the eastern side of the country, 12 or 14 would probably be more realistic. Costs. Ultimately, one of the greatest obstacles in planning an elk hunt often revolves around cost. If you're hunting your home state, it can be pulled off relatively inexpensively. If you're traveling across state lines, expenses can add up quickly. Fortunately, there are ways to pull off a successful elk hunting road trip without completely breaking the bank. Keep in mind that these are just average estimated costs, and many factors can swing the actual cost in either direction, but usually upward. As you add on more amenities, guides, meat packers, hotels, etc., the cost can climb rather rapidly. Here's a general breakdown of what you can expect in terms of the cost for a DIY elk hunting trip. For non-resident license and tags, figure $750. In 2019, Colorado elk license were $661. Idaho license and tag cost $571.50. An Oregon elk license and tag cost $738. In Wyoming, a general elk license will cost you $707. In Montana, the elk combination license will cost you $885. And in Arizona, an elk license and tag will cost you $825. Fuel. Based on a 2,000-mile round-trip drive at $2.50 per gallon, budget $350. Essential elk hunting gear. Obviously, if you already have the gear, this budget can be minimized. If you don't have anything other than a flashlight, you might need to spend a bit more. Plan on spending around $500 updating gear, purchasing essential gear, etc. Groceries for 8 to 10 days, plan on $200. Total cost to go on an elk hunt, $1,800. Having a partner with you will reduce the cost of fuel and maybe a little on the groceries, but cost savings won't be the greatest advantage of bringing someone with you. When you are successful, that extra helping hand and back will be far more valuable than the money you shaved off the fuel bill. And since I'll be providing you with the tools you need to be successful, let's go ahead and plan on those additional costs as well. For meat processing or freezing your meat, plan on $250. If you can process the meat on your own and transport at home, you'll be able to save that. Taxidermy. Plan on $1,000. If you shoot a bull worthy of your living room wall, most taxidermists are going to charge you around $1,000 for a shoulder mount. Realistically, I would recommend setting aside $2,000 for an out-of-state elk hunt. You can shave a few dollars off that, but more than likely, you'll end up adding a few more by the time you get back home, again, depending on travel distances and other factors. While $2,000 isn't something to scoff at, it also isn't a mark that is completely unobtainable. Planning for a year or two and setting aside just $100 or $200 per month can bring the dream of elk hunting into reality in a fairly short period of time. You could work some overtime, pick up a part-time job, or simply cut coffee or cable TV out of your budget, and you'll be elk hunting in no time. Do it yourself or guided. If the idea of finding a needle in a haystack from 1,000 miles away seems daunting, and you have some extra room in the budget, a guided elk hunt might be a great option for many hunters. However, depending on the level of services you need, these services will come at a price. Here are a few options to consider when choosing the level of assistance you will need. Fully guided. Often simply referred to as a fully guided hunt is at the opposite end of the spectrum from a do-it-yourself adventure. On a guided hunt, it's the hunter's responsibility to show up at a certain place, at a certain time, and with certain personal hunting gear. From there, the outfitter will handle nearly all aspects of the hunt, with the exception of firing the weapon. On a guided hunt, the outfitter usually handles the logistics of traveling to and from the hunting area, lodging, food, and some of the required hunting gear, such as cots, cooking gear, calls, etc. The guide will locate game, determine the plan of action, perform the calling, and if the hunt is successful, the guides will process, pack, and preserve the meat. The cost of a guided elk hunt often starts around $3,500 and quickly goes up from there, depending upon the area, services, and accommodations provided. The cost of a fully guided hunt can be reduced somewhat if you're willing to hunt with another hunter, two hunters, and one guide. If you want undivided attention from your guide, it'll cost you more. Semi-guided. The difference between a fully guided and a semi-guided hunt has less to do with the logistics of travel, lodging, and gear, and more to do with the actual hunting. Typically, a semi-guided hunt will provide the travel to and from the exact hunting area, the lodging while in the field, and often the food will be provided and prepared for you. A semi-guided hunt usually does not include the assistance of a hunting guide that is with you while pursuing elk each day. There's no guide calling elk for you, telling you when and where to move, etc. You, as the hunter, leave your outfitted camp each day to hunt on your own. A common cost for a semi-guided elk hunt is going to be somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000. Drop camp. A drop camp hunt is one in which a guide or packer will handle the logistics of getting you to and from your hunting location. An outfitted or furnished drop camp is one in which the guide or packer will pack you into one of their preset outfitted camps that includes shelter, firewood, cooking gear, and other basic tools and necessities. A non-outfitted drop camp is one in which the packer is transporting you and your gear, including your tent and other necessities, to a designated hunting area. Once at camp, there's no guide or other assistance to help you during your hunt. If successful, you'll need to take care of processing the game in the field and get it to a predetermined location where the outfitter or packer can access it by horseback and pack it back to the trailhead for you. A drop camp elk hunt will frequently cost anywhere from $1,500 to over $3,000, depending upon the equipment and accommodations provided. Pack out only. The final type of assistance that some hunters use is the limited service of having a packer called in when the hunt is successful. This arrangement needs to be made before the hunt begins. To find a packer, you can start with locating guide services for the area to be hunted and contacting them to inquire about their packing services. Oftentimes, the guide service will offer pack-out services since they will already have personnel and pack animals in the hunting area for their guided clients. Because you will only need the packer's services if your hunt is successful, you'll need a means of contacting the packer once you get an elk down. This can cause some difficulties logistically, since you and the packer may or may not have cell service in the hunting area. Be sure you work with the packer to establish the best method of communication. Satellite phone, cell phone call, texting, radio, or even their base camp locations where you can reach them in person. The cost to have a packer retrieve your elk and return it to the trailhead will frequently run $500 or so, and can vary based upon the difficulty of accessing the elk, the distance packed, and other factors. Time frame. The last thing to consider in planning the logistics of your elk hunt is how soon you plan to go hunting. This will have an effect on your budget, as well as on the state you choose to hunt. If you want to hunt this fall, and it's past the draw deadlines, your options will be limited to over-the-counter tags or ending landowner tags that haven't been gobbled up already. If you're planning a hunt for 4 or 5 years from now, you have time to start saving as well as applying and building points in some states, which can increase the quality of your hunt. Additionally, you should also consider how frequently you plan to hunt elk. If you want to go on an elk hunt one time, or maybe just a few times throughout your lifetime, then the investment of time and money to acquire all the gear necessary for a fully self-sufficient do-it-yourself hunt probably won't make sense. If, however, you want to become an elk hunter that will return to elk country on a frequent basis, investing in quality gear and spending the time to become self-sufficient will make more sense in the long run. Just a word of caution. Elk hunting is addicting. If your goal is to go elk hunting just once, you might want to have an alternative clause built into your plan to account for multiple return trips. Elk hunting gets in your blood and will continue to call you back to the mountains each fall. With realistic goals established and a relative idea of what you want your elk hunt to look like, we can now move into the next phase, obtaining an elk tag.